Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
What's up?
That's my job. That's my job. Can't be coming in like that.
What are you talking about?
No, sorry.
Dude, where is this even coming from?
Come on.
Oh, my God.
I figured you hadn't heard enough whistles, so one more. All right.
I didn't like that one, to be honest with you.
Doesn't matter.
Just saying.
Doesn't matter.
Have good tone to it.
So, you know, we usually shoot for an hour. So, based on that theory, and if we went by SEC officiating rules, we need to do one about every minute or so.
No. I mean, if we're going in relative terms, we need to do like 1.6 every minute.
Oh.
It was 54 called in 40 minutes. I mean,
it's just nuts. Obviously, we're referring to the South Carolina Arkansas game on the men's side.
No, we're referring to the officiating game that Arkansas and South Carolina were a part of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the refs' game.
We're not opening up blaming the refs on the loss. Does that make sense? They just really affected the game.
They affected a whole lot of it. I mean, no. So it's not their fault. We missed free throws. I mean, we missed. Dang, that is small print, but I think it was somewhere around. Was it 15? 12, 15, something like that.
15, I believe.
So. Hey, that was nice.
For your baby.
Quick on the gun there.
Yeah. Looks like it says 14.
Yeah, so if we go by that, we should have beat them, but still. I mean, did you know in all of your years of being a sports fan that you can be called for a foul while laying on the floor?
After,
of the basketball court.
After essentially being knocked to the floor.
After being thrown to the floor, of course. But that's
the same person that you fell. It's a new one. It's a new one to me.
Did you know that you could be called for a walk while falling to the floor and then possessing the ball after you land on the floor?
And then the held ball one. Don't forget that one.
Yeah, if you hold an opposing player's arm, that's a jump ball. There's so much I learned yesterday.
Yep.
It was god awful. So y'all were there. Elite Mobile Detail was there and said that was one of the worst games that he has ever seen in his life.
It's hard to watch a game like that. I mean,
there's no flow.
You can't get the crowd into it. Also, he didn't want to say what's up.
I told him you were there, and he said he didn't want to talk to you after that debacle of yesterday.
Yeah, we don't need to get into the text exchange that happened.
I wish people could just enjoy that without me having to explain it, but it's impossible, so whatever. But it was great. Y'all made my sick day a little bit better.
Well,
have you ever seen a game like that? That's just
not that pace. I mean, there couldn't be momentum on either side.
And I am giving them that they sucked all the way around. Like there, I don't feel like there was, you know, anything leading towards a lot. I saw a lot of people saying that, like, once again, Arkansas getting screwed by the refs. Like, well, South Carolina didn't get no help either.
Right.
I mean, it was bad. It was bad all the way around. We're just, I mean, used to it at this point.
Like, in terms of stuff not going our way, but just killing the pace of the game there. You have to make those free throws. Really, your dude that has himself a ridiculous night, and Mason Jones, his double-double that gets to be overlooked. But, hey, you also got to think, the reason that it's overlooked was because he almost had a triple-double if we're counting turnovers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he was, what, three away from having 10 turnovers?
Mm-hmm.
But, I didn't, I'll be honest with you, though, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy watching that. And, again, it was a two-way street. They just, refs should not have that much control over a dadgum game.
I mean, when did that wrap up? About 10 o'clock? Felt like it.
I know it was past my bedtime, close to it. I don't know how many replays that they showed on the big board there, but that second half particularly, I bet you And I'm not even exaggerating. I bet you there were no less than 5 fouls called where no contact was made. And again, both sides of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get the ones and you're like, oh, hell yeah. But then it happens to you at the other end. You're like, come on, are you blind? You know, it's.
No, they were doing an excellent job inside the arena of replaying those particular sequences.
And my buddy said that the crowd was getting pretty restless, I guess would be the word.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was whistle after whistle. And like I said, it just. You just can't get into it. You can't expect a crowd to stay into it that long. And they tried. They definitely tried to keep, but I think it only just fueled the fire, and especially closing in on it. But I do like what Musselman said at the end of the game, and because he kept getting asked a question, you know, and he said, why... well, why are we only talking about one play when we miss 14 free throws? And because they kept asking about the last play, the play that was designed for Mason Jones to get try to get a game winner. You know, South Carolina shut that out. I mean, everyone was expecting it to go to Mason Jones on that side of things. So,
if I was to critique that play, you didn't get to Mason. That's fine. Those don't always work out, but. Sills got to the paint, and Sills is a beast in the paint. Why didn't he?
That's probably not. He probably wasn't told that. They were probably playing for three, because you think of where we were at. Overtime wouldn't have been in our best favor there. Because basically, as soon as we went to overtime, tip ball, there probably would have been 2 fouls. They would have given them to Jones, and then whoever else had 4 on our side. And then that would have been a foul out, so... we wouldn't have been able to compete with overtime. I would have been intrigued to see how the rotation would have been, because we were, you know, very close on the foul trouble side of things. They had 2 or 3 foul out. I don't know how many guys we had rocking with 4.
I think they had 2, but at one point during the game, there were 8 players with 4 fouls.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued to see the last time that many fouls were called in a game. And it wasn't, honestly, though, I get each group, squad of refs, if you will, you know, kind of call plays a little bit different. But, I mean, damn, you've seen so much more contact allowed. And we're sitting here watching the Lady Razorbacks play Alabama and got a 19-point lead with 6:16 left in the fourth. And they're letting these girls play pretty good.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's more enjoyable for the game itself. But I think the players, like, I know me personally, back in my day, I liked playing a little bit more rough, you know. But that's I still say with Sills, I don't know. That game had so much weight on it, you know, kind of overlooked. We needed that win.
Mm-hmm.
Because a win, if people watched the game, they mentioned it dozens of times probably. But, you know, a win in that game gets you in the top third of the SEC. The loss is in the bottom third, and we are now in the bottom third. But I don't know, coaching differences and stuff. But do you think that game with the fouls and everything kind of maybe changes Musselman's approach to the 7-man game? Because, you know, he's kind of been...
he's playing what he has to. I mean, really, I saw Henderson come out, who we know I've talked about, but I saw Henderson get subbed in. I was like, oh, he's going to get some minutes. And it was literally that possession. And I was like, oh, he's getting seconds.
Because he will 57 is what it's showing on the scorecard here.
Yeah, so.
Not so much.
Yeah. I mean, and, he's sticking to his guys. He's playing Silla. Well, he only got 3 minutes last game, but he's getting some better, more looks. Silla is. But other than that, he's sticking to the guys that got him to where they are here. And that's not too surprising. The depth isn't here, and I think that's what a lot of folks are missing is, like, this is an NIT team, like a deep NIT team that can flirt with the tournament, NCAA championship tournament. Ultimately, that's what it is.
Dare we mention size again?
No.
But that's – honestly, that's it. That's all we're missing.
You know, folks got a little excited because of a non-con schedule, and we were able to handle people. Short prep, that kind of stuff comes into play with non-con.
And I don't think we're out of our league, no pun intended.
No.
It's just stuff that's going to eventually wear on us. I mean, we've seen Joe have some knee inflammation. It's kind of slowed him up a little bit. I will say his shot looked a little bit better.
Come on, man.
What?
It is what it is. It's all part of basketball. So,
well, no, I'm saying
ultimately, this is, you know, maybe a 500 team in SEC play.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if we had the team that we're looking forward to next year, we can say, you know, a deep run in the tourney. But we have the skill. But eventually, these minutes are going to start wearing on our guys, and it's just they're having to play, I think, probably a more aggressive style of defense as it is because of lack of size.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not able to really take a possession off. Not that I'm a fan of that either way, but it happens. There ain't nothing you can do about it. So
they're defense, enjoying it, though. That's
they're having fun, yeah. Which is what I think is going to get us into the tournament. Me, personally, just getting there, 100% success of a season. Like you said, this is an NIT team. I think we said it a show or two ago. We were looking at that being the, you know, the shine of the season. And now we're looking at, hey, if we can get past and get into the tournament, hell yeah. But worst case scenario, I 100% agree with you. This is a deep ran team into an NIT. But I'm still not giving up hope. I still think that they have what it takes to make it to the dance. Stars align, make it to the round of 32, but that's about it.
I mean, NIT isn't the worst thing either. It gives you, especially where, you know, on where we would, me thinking about it, where we would be at, we would probably be hosting for the most part. And that's obviously extra revenue because you're going to have right. more games at Bud Walton. And what would you rather have, a bounce in the first round or an NIT championship?
I think as a fan, probably a tournament bounce out. However, as a kind of looking into a little bit more analytically, if you can make a deeper run into the NIT, that's more time in practice, more reps. That's why bowl games, no matter how crappy they are, they're important in football. And so me personally, NIT or NCAA, one round and out. But probably for the benefit of next season, a deep, deep run into the NIT would be more beneficial in the long run.
The NIT run championship would benefit you more, I mm-hmm. think, because you get the foundation. Obviously, you can make that run in the tournament and be a Cinderella, but again, be real here. Be real here on what's going to happen. So you probably won't win an NIT either, but you can always get more revenue for the university, and the university can suck more money out of you.
But they were saying on the show last night on the broadcast that they don't think seven SEC teams are a far stretch. You don't see us finishing in that top seven? I mean, before this last couple of weeks, we were right there.
I mean, yeah, because we hadn't really gotten into the meat of it yet, and we still have a lot of basketball left and a lot more road games. So.
I'm just pumped to this point of the season. We're sitting at 15-5, 3-4 in the SEC, and we still have not gotten destroyed.
Right.
We are there, and it's frustrating with the way NCAA has made things kind of happen for us, but do we lose anybody next year besides Mason Jones?
I mean, there's still the
Bailey. Bailey's a senior too.
Bailey's a senior, but Mason Jones is a junior.
Is he a junior?
Mm-hmm.
So does he leave?
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of right now, on the roster, Witt would be gone, Silla will be gone, and Bell would be gone. Those are your seniors. Bailey, so which we already mentioned.
Yeah.
Where Mason Jones is a junior, can come back, who knows? You know, he spoke very openly about his relationship with Musselman and
right.
how much it's changed, so it wouldn't surprise me there. One thing that I could see happening is between two forwards between Ethan Henderson and Chaney. One of those will probably transfer out, I imagine.
Well, I haven't got to see a whole hell of a lot of Henderson, but
out of those two, my money would be on Chaney more than Henderson.
Yeah, so. Just because of me, the reason I say that is kind of because of the way the season started. Still don't know what, you know, really went down there with him not getting to play and stuff. Maybe saving Henderson for what's to come. Don't really know what all's there. It's kind of hard to speculate, but typical Arkansas fashion, wait till next year.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be good.
But, I mean, this is a wait till next year kind of like baseball, honestly. Because this isn't a, hey, maybe we'll make a bowl game like for football. We're talking good things.
Good things could potentially happen. Yeah. But
talking about the women's game, let's peek in there. Let's see. There's 3 minutes and 20 seconds left. Looks like they're at the under four timeout. Arkansas's up 63-43. And you'll see that they've won by the time this has been released. So there's that. But really, the only real reason I wanted to segue into women's basketball is at halftime of the Arkansas game, I saw them talking. South Carolina is up on Ole Miss at halftime. It was 32-2. And at one point, it was 46-4 into the third. That is ridiculous.
That's high school stuff.
that's exactly what it is. It's those high schools.
What'd you say it was? 30 what?
It was 32-2 at half.
I heard the and what'd you say it is right now? I thought you just
no. I was looking to see whether.
Oh, your point. So, I heard them say a while ago that South Carolina's doing a strong favor for themselves or something. But you hear South Carolina's winning, you're like, oh, okay, whatever. But 32-2 at half. You can't get fouled on a shot or something.
Exactly. It's one of those deals where, like, you going back to high school stuff where, okay, so they have scored 32. They've scored 30 points in the second half. So there you go. It's 87-32 currently.
So we're talking third teams out there.
Oh, yeah.
Doing some business. That's crazy,
but
man.
The third team is still, they actually are outscoring their first half numbers. Because in the third, they scored 25, and that just went final, 87-32.
That's something I've thought of. I've you know, kind of been a part of some not good ends of scores back in my day, but something like that, how the hell do you even get your team to come out in the second half?
They went 0 for 3. They were 0 for 10. 100% on free throws. 6 of them.
Daggum. That's rough.
20.
But seriously, how do you tell, hey, guys or girls, let's go finish this?
Yeah, I don't know the pep talk.
Is it a pride talk right there?
I think it's, hey, freshman, you're going to get some work in the second half.
Hope your parents came.
Right.
So they can see you play tonight. Oh, boy, that would be rough.
Exactly.
Man, I'm watching this live stats right now, and we're at 30 seconds on here. The app, we're still got a minute and 30.
The app is a minute behind.
A minute behind.
And it's garbage because half the time it's working. And then obviously I guess he's a big name for Alabama.
I wasn't going to do names. I was just going to say announcers.
I guess he's a big name for Alabama women's basketball. But I couldn't take him. The other guy doesn't help any, but man, that former coach is bad. I told you when we got on here, I was like, he dropped dad gum in there, and I just haven't heard that on play-by-play, referring dad gum basketball player. Okay, that got me off guard. But
so what you're saying is you wouldn't like me as an announcer?
Well, let's not get
it
into
it. Just went final on here.
Yeah, let's not. Yeah, we're about, oh my
66-48, final score from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
There it is. Which you already knew that if you downloaded this app.
Yeah, you already knew we were. Started off kind of slow, actually. Like I mentioned, they had a 4-point lead at one point, and then shots started dropping, and Tolfree went 1-for-4 from three and finished 3-for-11. So not her best shooting night, but still had 17 points. Ramirez with 22. Dungy, she has been extremely hot and cold this season, really, huh? I mean, she's not really been a consistent bulldog out there like she ended last year. And
well, I mean, she's consistent these last two games.
Low points.
7 and 8. So
yeah. Maybe that's the role. I mean, because last year, if you can remember, and I'm sure everybody does, what would you say, the last week and a half, 2 weeks leading into the tournament, she really turned it up and started just being the All-American that she is.
Right.
Maybe Neighbors is trying to put a little bit more pressure on the other guards just to, I don't know, again, speculation. It's what I do here. It's what I do best. But she's definitely, and, you know, teams have probably figured her out a little bit too. She definitely likes going to her right. Like, you can pick, she is not, if I was a defensive player, I'd make her go to her left every single time. But, you know, I'm just a measly old guy here on a podcast, so what do I know?
I mean, you know, Tolfree and Ramirez have definitely been the consistent ones throughout the season, I think, from start to now. Daniels is kind of in that same boat, I feel, with Dungy. And ultimately, it's Daniels has to be kind of the last look, you know? And yeah, in terms of if the big three that we keep talking about, if Tolfree, Ramirez, and Dungy aren't getting it, then your next option is going to be Daniels, and she has been stepping up when that's the case. So if there is a team out there that is able to shut down those three, then they still have to deal with Daniels, and that's not an easy task either.
You know who I'd like to see on the court at the same time too is Galdon and Daniels. Mm-hmm. Galdon is freaking quick,
mm-hmm,
and pretty under control. Occasionally can kind of – I'd say she's more in control than out, and she got a real nice look at a three and took it, and real good stroke. I'm not sure why she hasn't shot more. I guess I don't, you know, I'm sure it's worked through Dungy, but she played some pretty good minutes. Now I got 8 points and one for one from the free throw line. That's always a nice stat. But
Coach Neighbor's going to be, well, happy we are only out rebounded by 5.
That's a win. I mean, you know, and we didn't mention that in the men's side of things, but we had the same amount of rebounds for the first time probably all year. We tied at 36 and still didn't get the win.
Exactly.
You wouldn't, if I told you that, like, hey, Dylan, we tied with rebounds, would you think we won that game?
Yeah.
But what have you seen from Galdon? I know you kind of talked about her the other day when y'all went to the game, and I feel like she runs the offense pretty well.
Yeah. It's one of those kind of rotational deals. Obviously, if you watched tonight's game, they love to bring up the positionless basketball that Mike Neighbors.
Don't do it to me.
I'm not going to talk to positions that have names because then they're positions. Anywho.
Yeah. Right.
So, but Galdon, she kind of runs that, seems like that'd be a second rotation kind of deal. And Coach Neighbors does a wonderful job of making sure there's constant talent on there. Now, Dungy seems to be on the court for 40 minutes, so that makes it all easy. But then you'll have one of those deals where it seems kind of, you don't have all three on the court for too long with Dungy, Ramirez, and Tolfree. One of those will switch out, you know, especially in games like this. You're not going to run them that long, but for the first half or so, you're going to see a mix where Ramirez probably comes off the bench for Tolfree. Yeah, vice versa on that side of things. And Godden's going to come in for Daniels. But 0 and 43, they're rarely on the court together.
I feel like that'd be interesting.
That's kind of the...
Well, then you'd have
point
two
guard you know.
Then you'd have two rackers out there. Jesus. Toll-free, though.
I wasn't going to do it. You did it.
I didn't. I thought you were going to go through all of them.
No.
Toll-free, though, this stat line is incredible to me. And, again, it's why I respect her game so much.
Her whole season stat line.
Yeah. She had 17 points, 6 for 7 from the line, 7 rebounds, 6 of those defensive, so that's obviously taking away second-chance points. 1 assist. I mean, they pass the ball around a lot, so – but – this right here, 0 turnovers. When the ball is in your hand 90% of the time and you have 0 turnovers, that's great.
And you're leading the SEC in 3. So.
With another badass shooter beside you, Ramirez.
Yep.
What about this team? Is this team a realistic turn?
Yeah, it's a tournament team.
Okay, well, we've kind of talked about the similarities between the men and women's and lack of size and stuff. So you think
it's more commonplace in the women's game. However, I mean, the problem with the women's game though is there's a big drop off once you get outside the top five. So the top five teams, right. South Carolina, as we saw tonight with Ole Miss,
yeah,
is a different animal.
Ole Miss, is that criminal?
It probably is. It's somewhere. One of those where there might be a petition that they have to, like, forfeit the game because they kept scoring baskets.
But, yeah, go on. Talking about the
I mean, Ole Miss isn't there. Terrible this year, but, you know, South Carolina, UConn, which we all know about, Oregon, I believe, is number one in the country right now. Like, those top four is just, I mean, it's almost chalky when it comes to the women's game. There might be a surprise or two, and honestly, that was Arkansas when it came to SEC play last year, and Dungy was a big part of that, so hopefully we can get some of that juice or magic we had, because honestly, I don't want it for SEC play. I want it for NCAA play.
Hold it a little bit longer.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a tournament team. It's just how deep do they go? Elite Eight, maybe? I think that's kind of the ceiling there.
So. Yeah, ceiling. I get on board with that. As long as everybody can stay healthy and that, honestly, with this team, that's pretty much it. We can't really afford one injury, in my opinion, because Neighbors, like you said, he does so good with the lineup and the, you know, subs and everything. So, again,
his rotation, I can't stress that enough, is his rotation and basically his player management is amazing.
And I guess I'm on a little bit of a love fest with it right now, but I think Galdin's what makes that second rotation flow.
Well, you got to have a legit point guard to keep it going. So can we say that? I'm going to say it because that's what I know with basketball. Honestly, I can't even break down all the Rackers and Rabbits and that's the only two I know off the top of my head.
I think there was a
Pushers?
Rabbit.
Is there Pushers? Is Luke coming in here? I said Rabbit.
And oh, you did say?
Yeah. That's the one I know.
That's the one you do know?
Yeah, Rabbits and...
Making shit up, I am. Well, that's what you're good at, Luke. But we are getting in to what I think is probably every real deep-seated Razorback fans time of year is.
Mm-hmm.
What am I talking about?
Baseball. I mean, that's what
the one true constant we have.
That's what people have been geared up for since
the end of baseball season.
Well, they got hyped up a little bit this year. I mean, there were people looking forward to football. They don't want to say that now.
Dude, I wasn't. I knew it was going to suck. I knew exactly. Yeah, you're right.
I knew we were going to go 2-10 again. I knew we were going to fight.
Who isn't ready for that?
Yeah.
Baseball, baby.
We got to reach out to Hutch here with Rivals, and he gave a little breakdown because he's been at these scrimmages that they've been having. They coincide usually with the women's game, and we're usually at the Bud watching them, so haven't been able to get out to some of these scrimmages. Definitely hope to be out there for opening weekend, his Valentine's Day weekend. And he kind of put together, basically reading in between the lines, a lineup slash positional, whatever. Straight up lineup. Okay.
Roster?
Roster. It's a lineup because he goes one through, and I just kind of breaks it down and gives us an insight based on what Dave Van Horn has already said in terms of the scrimmage and stuff. So
when you say lineup, you're talking like this is the batting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Kerstad at number two.
Like I said, they're reading in between. So I would lay more onto the positional side of things here. So one thing to actually point out is Goodhart, which they still have him at that DH role. In case you didn't know, he is still going to be wearing contacts. I had to confirm that. He has still got the, Volt Vision hookup.
I'll tell you what, man. If that shit gets brought up the first game, maybe, yeah.
Well, here's the deal.
This year, if it gets brought up this year, I will be listening to Phil Elson for the remainder of the season and never on a broadcast.
Well, that just means that they didn't update their talking points for Arkansas. But he is supposedly a little hurt. So because
he's hurt?
Yeah, he had that scare. So they're
trying to get into it there?
Yeah, I'm trying to get some reports on it. But everything that's getting it is based on the one he had early in last April during the season. But they said he's not at 100%, so I don't know the injury on that one off the top of my head. If you do, hit us up at JRD. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but right now, I don't know. So that's one thing to kind of be mindful of when we're talking about this stuff, because people are going to hear us say kind of positional, and obviously in DVH we trust, and this is more on Hutch's side of things and based on what he's seen and heard from DVH. So.
Well, I think the positions are probably pretty accurate.
I think the ones that folks are really going to be talking about, you got your transfer in and Webb, and then you also have the new second baseman, Robert Moore. So, and
we also saw, we went to the scrimmages towards the end of last year and saw Kerstad at first too.
Right.
And
I mean, earlier, one of the scrimmages they had Opus out there just so catchers could get some work. Catchers get some work. Obviously your captain and your, stud catcher.
Ain't nobody worry about Opus not being catcher.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we can kind of run down through some of these names. Like I said, it's kind of the beginning. Still don't 100% know, but we got a transfer, Braden Webb. I do believe we saw him, right, at the end of that scrimmage we were talking about.
Yeah, Webb played, and Austin was another guy that was moving around quite a bit.
Yeah, so right now he's a redshirt junior. They have him currently at left field. He's a transfer out of Grayson Community College. I'm going to assume that is in Texas based off of where he's from. But he's got some. He had 55 games. He had 25 doubles, 6 triples, 14 home runs, 66 RBIs, 28 base on balls, walks, and then 18 out of 20 of stolen bases. That number right there is pretty sweet because obviously we know Van Horn likes to run around the bases pretty good. And then this number here, don't quote us, but based off of those stats I just read, it looks like he has an .842 on base percentage, and I don't give a damn what level of ball you're playing. That is almost literally you getting on base every single time you go up to hit.
Yeah,
that's
you gotta take the money ball route there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Seriously, I'm impressed with that one. That's a good replacement too. If that number kind of stays, obviously that's not going to stay once he gets into SEC ball, but if that number kind of hovers around 500 next year, that's going to be a good good fill-in for Ezell, who was pretty automatic at getting on the base.
Yeah.
And then if we're reading this as a lineup, at number two is Kerstad. I'm not giving you his stats. You know about him. All-American. So
still in right field.
still in right field. Something weird would have to happen for him to be at first.
Right.
But we saw him. He didn't do bad, but, you know, whatever.
In case you want to have him truck over more people, maybe.
Or stop the trucking.
All-time favorite.
That's a
picture that should be. You know what GIF I'm talking about, right? The Texas game?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Wonderful. I can't forget that. The look down, I think his shoulders were flared out a little bit.
Yeah. It's
a beautiful picture. That should be on the entrance of Baum, plastered, I mean, almost just 10 by 10 or something.
And you know what you didn't hear? Didn't hear a whistle.
Yeah, I saw a tweet talking about that. Like, hey, baseball's 16 days away or whatever. If you're tired of whistles, there are zero whistles in the game, which is so good. So we got the returning Goodhart, as Dylan just mentioned. Casey Martin, I hope his numbers kind of go back to more freshman year Casey Martin. Last year, he wasn't quite as reliable. I mean, 79 strikeouts. Damn.
Yep.
But
he was trying to win the game a lot of times.
Every time. And that's something we talked about his freshman year, too, how not on this because we didn't have this at the time, but we talked about that. Christian Franklin hoped to see a little bit better numbers on the back at the plate with him. But I think he did pretty damn good as a freshman last year. First time SEC, as is everything, different monster. So I think he held his own pretty good.
He's going to fit in that center field role, replacing yes. Dom. I mean, it's pretty obvious who was going to move over to center field.
They called that the first game of the year, it seems like, that he was the being groomed to take Dom's place. And then Opitz, I really hope I don't have to tell anybody about him. if so, Dylan's going to fight you.
Absolutely.
And then we have another transfer looks like he's transferred twice out of West Virginia, Arizona State, Cole Austin, the first baseman.
Pretty sure he's one of the grad transfers out of Arizona State.
Yeah, doesn't look like he played much last year, but pretty below average numbers. 10 games, 6 starts, 192 batting average.
It's hard to dive into something like that when you only get a handful.
Maybe an injury or something, or I'm not sure. Then Nesbitt, who I think is going to have he's going to have a really good year. He closed out pretty good, still at third base. Looked like he was 7 for 10. I was thinking of stolen bases. He didn't take a whole lot of attempts. And then looks like the second baseman, this was the kid that had a lot of talk going into last season, knowing that he was coming here.
Yeah.
Robert Moore at second base. Hopefully we can get us another Shaddy. That would be cool.
This is a better than Shaddy kind of projection.
That's here. What the pro, yeah,
this
the prospects
is,
for
this
sure.
This is Ben Attendee level when you're talking about where he lines up as a prospect and everything. Okay, yep. So the tools are a little bit. Little different being infield and everything like that, but it's I believe they use that term, that five tool kind of guy. He might be one of them.
So with that kind of accolades or projections, this might end up being a Casey Martin replacement.
Yeah.
After Martin leaves this year, taking him at shortstop.
Want to see?
Which is what
Martin
did for
clean up some errors.
He
did lead the team in errors, so. He can clean that up. That's definitely going to help his stock. So.
And hopefully by this point, too, because he is a freak athlete, Casey Martin is. But hopefully by this point, the game slowed down for him because that's what a lot of those errors were. The game was fast. He's trying to throw him out at first real quick or hurry up and turn a quick double play. Or sometimes just trying to make the highlight reel in general. So hopefully he's matured up just a little bit. The game slowed down for him, and I think that had a lot to do with – you know, all those strikeouts too. So the rest of these, you got some key bench players.
Yeah, I just
kind of
threw
here.
That in there. We ain't got to go too much. Really just the one that probably folks will remember would be Curtis Washington Jr. So we'll probably still see quite a bit of him, maybe as a sub in pitch run kind of deal or playing some DH if Goodhart isn't there. Trey Harris is another guy that will probably have quite a bit of a time at the plate as well. And then really from there, it's a lot of our recruited class that's coming in here. But
and I think Harris, he got some time in the outfield last year, didn't he?
Harris played.
I was thinking that name sounded familiar.
There's also, I believe, a Harris on the pitching staff. So, but going to the pitching staff there, the consistent starters, we've had this talk before. So Nolan and Wicklander kind of seem to be a lock for 1 and 2, whichever way you want to do it. Who are you thinking for that third spot?
Well, side note, Nolan and Wicklander were getting torn up by Robert Moore this offseason, if that tells people anything. Third day guy, you and I were discussing this the other day. I mentioned, all these names, we're transitioning into the other sports, but Vermillion's still here, right?
Vermillion, he's still on. So
that's kind of who I'm pegging so far with the potential to, you don't like that?
No.
I saw that face. No?
I think he'd kind of be one of those guys out of the bullpen. I've always kind of liked him at the bullpen, that role.
Long guy, though, tall. He's got a lot of angles with his pitches. I don't know. I'll tell you who would know is we haven't heard from him in
Dem
a while.
Dem Hogs.
We Dem Hogs or something like that.
It's no, we talked some baseball, so he'll come
we
out of that.
We ignored the piss out of him, just so the listeners know, during football season, because he was so ready to talk about baseball. But
he was sending us MLB stuff.
Yeah.
Talking about Anaheim Angels and stuff. And it's like, hang on. Just pump your brakes. So
hold it out. But yeah. Who are you thinking? So I'm throwing out Vermillion. Do you have a name that? Because I don't even think you gave me a name the other day when we had this discussion.
Yeah, I know. Had to do some digging, thinking, sitting. I think it just kind of makes sense that you probably go with your other team captain in Kevin Copps. So by the team, he was him and Casey Opis were elected as team captains there. So Opis.
So that might have something. So. Opis for sure. Yeah, no questions asked. That might actually be, kind of a nod to his off season because he had some games, but the reason I'm having a hard time jumping onto that is because he had some control issues pretty severely.
Right.
More times than not.
He was coming off of Tommy John though.
I mean, no, that's true, but that doesn't change anything.
So 2018 I think with that, then you can have Vermillion and Ramage. And then a dent, and that can kind of be so out of the bullpen because I am correct on that dent. The Marshall Denton, I can't remember. Marshall Denton,
yeah.
Sheriff.
Yeah.
The Marshall Denton will replace Cronin or try to replace Cronin.
See, and that's where I'm kind of thinking Denton's gonna, he will be the closer. I don't even know if that's a question.
Right.
Right. Because, I mean, he was the midweek closer. He did some weekend closing if Cronin got used up. So that just seems to make sense. I don't think Ramage is Ramage is a starter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I said I thought there was a Harris in the bunch. It was actually Tress that I was thinking of, Eli Tress.
Yeah.
That guy.
That's
he's got a fat, you know, he wasn't consistent. He was kind of up there with who was it? Burton. Yeah.
Burton. Burton. How's Burton doing? Burton still here?
Yeah, he's still there. So, according to Hutch, he touched 98 miles an hour.
Where did it land?
Exactly. Did it touch Hutch?
Yeah, did Hutch get hit? It's going to be fun getting into that. I had a lot of fun. We were new to this, but
and he's got a quote on here that Burton is throwing about everything he has over the plate. That's from Dave Van Horn. And the issue is getting a secondary pitch. So
maybe he's a closer.
Maybe.
And he's hitting 98.
Yeah. If you're sitting that 98 range, you're definitely going to be in the. And then Tress is his fastball's at 95 is what Hutch says here. But the command issues with his sinker. We shall see. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, I am too. That's before you rudely cut me off. I was saying that, you know, I have I had a lot of fun. Yeah, look at me like that. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun last year talking about this because, one, it's always more fun to talk about a winning team. And, two, it's almost – I'm about to sound cliche here, but it's almost masterful to see a DVH coach game.
Yeah.
There is no mistakes. When I say mistakes, I don't mean mistakes on the field, but I mean at pitch count 64, you're pulling Nolan because you probably had it planned earlier in the week that we're pulling you at pitch count 64. And, you know, just obviously I'm being sarcastic a little bit, but it's just great.
Right.
And you're starting to see a little bit of that with Musselman in basketball, but still young in that. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to look forward to getting to do this, and hopefully, you know, we'll be talking about some Omaha Hogs here.
I definitely think we'll be talking about Omaha Hogs, but it is definitely nice to watch DVH. And one thing I've always respected about that was kind of how much he changes in terms of how he coaches. He hasn't stuck to strictly being small ball because, you know, years back it was we're small ball, we're going to make steals and all that. And we kind of we kind of had to transition into some more stuff. We had Spamberger, and we started getting, you know, home runs and power hitting. We really kind of picked that up a little bit with Kerstadt, and it tailed off a little bit. But I think we're going to be, right now, we're in a nice little middle of it because, again, I think can't underestimate how mix. Much. I mean, it's going to be known now, but Opus is one heck of a catcher, really.
Yeah, and you can't run on him. You almost literally cannot run the ball. Run on the base. Still is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, still on him.
I got caught up in the Chris Traeger thing.
So. Yeah, I know. It's like he was trying way too hard to give you guys a Parks and Rec reference.
Which I finished last night. I'm not crying, you are.
Oh, man. Did you see right before we got on that Frazier committed to Auburn?
I did.
Did you watch the video?
I did not. Did he throw some disrespect at the Hogs?
No, I don't think it was disrespect. I mean, he was a Texas kid. Probably didn't mean anything to it. I just thought it was a little weird. Obviously not, you know, we don't bash kids on here or anything like that.
What happened?
It was just a highlight film. Like, it was basically his huddle. And at the end of it, it's like, I'm committed to. And then it was a, you know, fan-made commitment artwork, you know, edit. Uh-huh. And then it's like, committed to Auburn. But I was like, that's weird. Just like how it was put together. It's like you got people playing dodgeball out there, and you got all these other, and that's what he used. But to each their own on that deal. But his highlight, his huddle, as I kept calling it, his highlight tape, was to Johnny Cash. So, of course.
Everybody thought that was Arkansas.
Yeah, everyone thought it was a dig at Arkansas. He probably doesn't even know Johnny Cash. Well, from Arkansas. I mean,
when those words first left your mouth, I thought, no shit, Dylan. He's been dead for over a decade.
Yeah. But I bet he hasn't hung out with Johnny Cash.
But what you mean is he's never heard of Johnny Cash.
Being from Arkansas. Like, yeah.
What was the song? Anything in particular? Do you remember?
No, I can't remember.
If it was I Hurt Myself Today, then that was a dig at Arkansas. So I saw a tweet that I meant to screenshot to share on this, but I'm going to give you the synopsis of it here. What was the recruiting pitch from Morris to Frazier? Because he's at Auburn now, right?
You want
to
keep this thing going?
Arkansas, they're a dumpster fire. Did you not see what their last coach did to them? Come on over to Auburn.
he was committed to Morris as a head coach. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's on that train.
Well, to be fair, Arkansas has a hell of a lot better foundation. So, you know, he went from wanting – or I'm sorry, Auburn.
I was going to say, what? He went from wanting
to help with the foundation to, oh, wait, there's already one there.
It's our foundation.
Just like we planned, Frazier. This is what I told you when I recruited to you earlier.
I told you there were some holes at Arkansas to fix. So, no, I mean –
Yeah, it was a tough not get, however you want to – tough rejection, I guess you can say. And, of course, people tweeting at him. Jesus Christ, I don't know how many times we can say this shit, but
don't
at recruits.
Real simple, don't.
Just don't.
You know what happens? had to hit it one more time. You thought we were done with whistles for this show, but there was going to be a whistle.
No, I fully intend, Mr. Board Runner, that we're going to end. What are we at? I said shit, so Luke had to. Okay, there it is. We're at 52 minutes. Once we get to 55 on this, it's going to be a long whistle. Like, just tap on it.
I can't do that one, so.
Did you see that little rough cut there? Oh, Luke is so sweet. I swear he hates me. He just won't tell me.
So, I mean, when it comes to that, obviously tight end was the position we were looking at because they gone.
We ain't got none.
They ain't there. So, we got Henry, which I heard good things about that kid. So
Who's that? Hudson?
Hudson Henry. We got to be careful because people won't get the satire and the comedy behind that. So
I don't give a poop.
Oh.
we've got some holes to fill at tight end.
We're still kind of holding out for Hornet or
Hornsby.
That's a quarterback, man. That's Hornsby.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about recruits in general. I'm sorry. Who are you talking about?
There's Hornet. Hornets. Tight end.
Hornice.
A-C-N. Okay.
Spelling and stuff.
Arkansas, Asylum Springs. What up?
So not the GPA, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely not. Man. Not the grade scores. But hey, or the test scores. Don't even know what I take. Have fun with that one, Luke.
Oh man, if that doesn't stay in, dude, that just threw me off. I feel like you quit recording for a second.
Oh man,
I've not even done that on this.
It's been a rough night. Apparently, I'm tripping over myself.
Well, our producer made us wait till freaking 8:30. Hell, my bedtime's 9.
Well, I had to. I did one.
You ain't working tomorrow. You ain't worried about it. Luke's probably not working tomorrow. I get it.
All right,
nobody
man,
care about the talent.
That's fine.
All right, we got something going on this weekend.
That is a surprise rough cut for me to scroll down.
That is
see,
a very surprise. It's not just a word. Like, it's the word.
Yeah. Apologize, but whatever.
Oh,
anywho.
Stop.
We got that game thing that
there's something coming up.
Sunday, something commercials.
It's safe to say we're not recording Sunday.
Yeah.
There's going to be some really funny commercials Sunday from roughly around 6:30 p.m. to after all that shit's over with, 10 p.m.
What are you hoping for that? I mean, I ain't got a horse in that fight.
Well,
hope,
you know,
to
I've
see
got
Greenwald
my,
get a championship.
That's where I'm weird, man. So I've followed Kansas City the past couple of years because of fantasy football. Obviously, I have Mahomes. So I've kind of started sort of rooting for him, I guess, or whatever. But then you got Greenlaw, who you can't argue the fact that he is one of the biggest reasons they're in this game, a linebacker, but I'm a Dallas fan and I will never root for the 49ers. So I've got KC. I'm going to go 38-27.
Oh, well, I wasn't going to do scores on here because
I wasn't either until I said 38-27. So
I will
no worries.
Take the flip of that, but 49ers way. So if it is
Garoppolo that, ain't gonna put that many points up. Come on now,
it's not gonna be Garoppolo. That hasn't been their game.
Is it gonna be Mostart?
It's gonna be a whole lot of that, and Coleman's healthy. So just
Tevin keep, Coleman.
Yeah, he's over there.
Oh yeah, he is. Cubs win. What
Cubs? But yeah, so keep it out of Mahomes' hands and let Dre Greenwald, you know, get a pick six. That's all I ask.
So this was an
big
analysis
play,
I heard today.
Big play, Dre gonna make a big play on the big stage at the big game.
If he gets a pick six, I'm shitting my pants and leaving your house. That's it. Heard an analysis today. Now I want you to. This was, I don't remember his name, but he works for ESPN. He said...
Stephen A. Smith.
No. I'm not even going to hate on him right now. But he said what the 49ers need to do. Now listen to this, because this is some deep football knowledge here. The 49ers need to get up in a lead on Kansas City and then maintain it.
Man, if they score more points than Kansas City,
they have a pretty significant shot at winning.
They could win that game.
Think about that. I know you. I give you credit on here all the time about your football knowledge, but when I heard that, I'm like, Dylan, who?
Exactly. I can't compete with that at all. I don't know. That's fire.
I mean, that's like,
I think as the
freaking
kids say,
that's Lombardi-esque type information.
Oh man.
That was like one of the ESPN break in, you know, how they're like giving you highlights and stuff of what's going on, you know, before they get into the local show again. They said that they're like, and this coming from whoever, I can't remember his name. And then he said that, and I'm like, that was updated news. I don't know Andy Reid personally, unlike Frazier probably knew Johnny Cash, but I'm betting you Andy Reid knew better than to let the 49ers have more points than them.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
See if it pays see how it pays off for them.
What you got for us?
Man, I actually am going to go Kobe again real quick.
Okay.
And just say that for the internet's deep, awful back shadows of its nastiness, there has been some pretty good unity going on pretty much across the world in lieu of Kobe's and everybody's passing. And I think that's great.
It is good to see that unity. It makes you have some faith in humanity again.
Very small amount,
it comes
but yes.
Back, yeah. Kind of sticking to that, one commercial that I know about because it kind of leaked is the WeatherTech commercial. So keep an eye out for that. Guarantee you, you're going to cry.
Oh, boy.
Or you're going to be cutting some onions or something's going to be happening in the room because of the WeatherTech commercial. So,
okay.
For the JRD Hawkcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to producer Luke. Apologize for that one about 5 minutes ago. But hey, you can hit us up at JRD Hawkcast. We also have a website that's got our merch on there because we are self-funded getting that action to you as soon as you hit that download button. That is JRDHawkcast.com. You can also hit us up on our text and call line. It's 479-308-8605. And until next time, woo pig.
Sometimes I take it too extreme. Game day comes around, you'll see a little pride on my face. 'Cause I got season tickets to the best seats in this place. And when my team takes the field, I won't cut you any slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl.